So this is the great Danton.
I saw a lecture you gave in London several years ago. I'm flattered you agreed to see me.
My assistant has explained that you require something very interesting.
I need something impossible.
You're familiar with the phrase, man's reach exceeds his grasp? It's a lie. Man's grasp exceeds his nerve. The only limits on scientific progress are those imposed by society. The first time I changed the world, I was hailed as a visionary. The second time, I was asked to politely retire. The world only tolerates one change at a time. And so here I am, enjoying retirement. Nothing is impossible. What you want is simply expensive. If I built you this thing, you would be presenting it as an illusion?
If people thought the things I did were real, they wouldn't clap. They'd scream.
But the cost of such a thing?
Price is not an object.
Perhaps not. But have you considered the cost?
I'm not sure I follow.
I can do this, but I can also give you some advice. Go home. Forget this thing. I can recognize obsession.
Will you build it?
I've already begun to build it. It's online now, thesyncbook.com/Oli2014. In August of 2014, we held our first major Sync Summit in Olympia, Washington. The event was a great success and featured talks and presentations from Syncbook authors, broadcasters, and Sync filmmakers, including a Radio 8 Ball show with Mark Hostler of Negative Land, a walking tour of the Kabbalistic Tree of Olympia, a Skype appearance from Rodney Asher, and a constant flow of sync that is documented at thesyncbook.com/Oli2014. Now in January of 2016, Syncbook Press is releasing all the footage from the 2014 event and launching a new season of Sync activities that includes an exclusive Spring Sync event in Boise, Idaho in March, and the next Oli Sync Summit in August. In anticipation, we've created an Indiegogo ticket presale and fundraiser. You can find the link to this and details at thesyncbook.com/Oli2014. For those of you unable to attend, there are some perks worth checking out too, such as t-shirts, posters, and ebooks. So be sure and check out this Indiegogo and consider joining us in Boise and or Olympia. What do you say, Will?
I say hello and welcome. It's Monday night and this is 42 Minutes, a production of Sync Book Radio and produced by thesyncbook.com. You can find our archives at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at SyncBook and at Sync40, or at Sync42. Tonight, we are pleased to present Alan and Andras, presenting the 2016 Sync Summit projects. I'm sure neither need any introduction for the sake of overcompensating. Let's just say these individuals conceived and produced the Olympia Sync Summit in 2014, and they are making a lot of noise right now. Tell us about this noise, Alan.
By the way, that's Alan Abadesa Green. I know you just said you gave him a first name like he was just a Muppet or something, but he actually is an author, and you usually like to know these guys by their last names.
You Alan know what's funny? Abadesa Green. I started writing down how many times you've been on the show, and I couldn't do it. It's like, all right, I give up. It was like, after like eight appearances, it's like, all right.
Do I have more appearances than Joe Alexander?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think that's probably a definite.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was your Steve Martin. Am I your...
He was our Justin Timberlake.
Wow. That was a little bit revealing. Okay, I would say Justin Timberlake. I mean, I don't know. Alan would be our Johnny Carson.
What?
Was Johnny Carson ever on Saturday Night Live?
Johnny Carson was never on Saturday Night Live.
Okay, Andras Jones is the author of
Accidental Initiations.
Accidental Initiations, and he's the creator and host of the Radio 8 Ball, and he produced the 2014 Oli Sync Summit.
Should have gotten intoxicated for this show.
Managing editor of Syncbook Press and the editor
is
of
Is this
Sync
the noise
Book
you were
1.
Talking about?
Yes. All right, Alan, what's been going on? What's going on the website?
A Muppet.
What's going on? We are, I mean, I think you explained it in your intro. We are, obviously, we are planning to do two more events after the success of our event from Andras Jones. And I produced a event in August of 2014 called the Olympia Sync Summit. I really encourage everyone to check out. We've put a ton of time and energy into releasing and editing and documenting most of what happened there. Obviously, you're missing out on all the personal human interactions, but all the lectures and the videos and the Radio 8-Ball show and the Kabbalistic Tree Walk, all these different events where we had a camera crew capture so much of it. And we've been basically editing nonstop and releasing all this footage. And there came a point where we sort of hit a lag, and now we've really pushed hard to kind of release everything that we've been looking to release. And what we've been doing is something, I believe you coined this hashtag 31 days of sync. And what it is every day for the month of January 2016, we are looking at one of the 32 videos that were produced and some of the ones that haven't yet been released. By the end of this month, everything will be released. And so you can check that out at thesyncbook.com/OE2014 on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thesyncbook. Or Twitter, I know, what is it, at the SyncBook, or at SyncBook, do you know which it is? Is it the SyncBook? Twitter man, Twitter master, Douglas Pauls?
Sorry, it's at SyncBook.
At SyncBook, okay. And so, I mean, there's sort of two things happening at once. You know, we're existing in this moment of now, which is sandwiched nicely between the past and the future, right? So in one respect, we're looking back at what we did in 2014, revisiting all this footage and the amazing event that we had, while simultaneously looking forward at the possibilities of what we can do this year in Boise and Olympia.
Wonderful.
Well, I was just wondering, I mean, what is it that people get out of a sync summit?
Like, well, also, I think that depends. It's sort of like, what does someone get out of a synchronicity? I'll use Radio 8-Ball as an example. So you could say that, like, with Radio 8-Ball, for people who aren't aware of it, the idea is it's a show where we ask questions and answer those questions by picking songs at random and then interpreting them like musical tarot cards. And that game becomes a container in which synchronicities can happen by asking a question that, and everyone hearing that question and then picking a song at random. It opens up and creates this, it's almost like, I think of it like a popcorn popper for synchronicity. And the synchronicities, as the event continues, the synchronicities are popping and popping and popping. As interactive as a Radio 8-Ball show is, it's still a performance piece. The musician is on stage most, and the host is on the stage most. And even though we try and make the audience a part of it and do that in a lot of ways, it's still a performance. Whereas Sync Summit is like that on the grand scale, where by putting a bunch of people who are interested in synchronicity into one space, ideally a beautiful space, you create this container in which synchronicities can happen. And that is purely, I mean, that was somewhat by design with 2014. I think that some of the lessons we learned from 2014 that we're bringing to the programming for 2016 is the realization that creating venues for powerful conversations is a more exciting part of it than giving presentations, which is pretty much what we all do on our own in our blogs and in our videos. We're constantly giving presentations to each other, but creating the environment where we can have conversations between people who have this focus, I think that's the biggest thing. For people, like if you have a book that speaks to that audience, there are networking possibilities as well. You could look at it that way. Which is just, you know, networking is just is really about having a conversation that's so powerful and inspirational that you decide to do something out of it.
This brings up another point. So, maybe you can explain exactly the format of the 2014 event and how that would change with the new one. Is there things that you guys are going to switch up or kind of a different layout on how things are presented?
The way things were organized at the... I mean, just to be clear, we're talking about two different events. We're talking right now. I'm talking about the Olympia Sync Summit, which happened in 2014, and we're doing again in 2016. Another part of this is the Boise component, which is the Sync Cabin, and Doug should speak to that as well. But as far as Olympia 2014, the format was we opened with a Radio 8 Ball show, and we keep saying that it featured Mark Hostler of Negative Land. He was our celebrity Skype-in guest. The musician was Peter David Connolly of a band called the Monoreels, and he was really excellent. And you can go see his footage from then, the stuff that's posted at thesyncbook.com. Is that Oli 2014? Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then everyone was staying at a place called Fertile Ground Guest House, which is a beautiful sort of hippie run little guest house with a big garden and several different complexes on it. And it's very close to downtown, basically in downtown Olympia, but still very idyllic. And so everyone was staying there. And on the second day, we had a walk of the Kabbalistic Tree of Olympia that I wrote my book about in the morning. And then a whole day and evening of presentations in the backyard at Fertile Ground. That went late into the evening. And then eventually the next day we all hung out, had meals, and people started to basically go on their merry way. And in between all of this stuff, I think everyone agrees that it was just the sort of hangouts when we were getting together for breakfast and you'd have just like 18 amazing conversations all going on, and you know, you could flit from one to another. And you can get a little bit of a sense of that in some of the walking sequences from the videos of the Kabbalistic tree walk.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
So now that video, I know that there were different visions behind how to produce it, but, you know, could you speak to that a little bit, how it, you know, came together?
Basically, we had two camera people who walked with us on the whole thing and filmed the whole thing. And for myself, I basically waited. I had to get through all the Radio 8 Ball stuff. And then I wish I had actually gone back and looked at it earlier, because there's ways it would have been nice to use some of that in the Radio 8 Ball edit. But it documents the walk and the different things that people shared in each of the different sephirot. For people who are not aware, there is a Kabbalistic Tree of Life built into the city of Olympia that's about a, you know, 2 mile walking path that is in the shape of the Kabbalistic tree. And I wrote about it in my book, and I use it as a consciousness raising tool here as my own personal practice. And I was able to share it with people who were in attendance. And we're going to do the same thing at Olympia Sync Summit 2016, except that instead of doing it on a hot Sunday morning, or a hot Saturday morning after we've been up all night, we're going to do it in the early evening on Thursday to open the event on a full moon on August 18th. And dusk in the Northwest in the summer is one of the best things you could possibly experience. And on a full moon, that's going to be really amazing. And that it's that kind of little tweak that we're able to do doing it around the second time. I think the biggest and I was referring to it before, the biggest and I think what I think is going to be the most exciting tweak is that rather than focusing on presentations where people get up and talk for an hour or 45 minutes to an audience and maybe take some questions, is that we're going to set up conversations where they're moderated conversations where someone who has a passion for a certain topic makes that topic, makes the information about that topic available to attendees before the summit. So people who are interested can do research and come and all be a part of a conversation. Say, if we just wanted to talk about, I don't know, the images of the Minotaur in the films of Stanley Kubrick, like something as specific as that. And then having one person who is really, you know, focused on that, open that conversation up and have it be able to be an hour, hour and a half long conversation among sync heads, which can be, or sync summiteers, if you will, that can be recorded and potentially used as podcast material or as video material, but also something that we don't like where, again, it creates a container for sync where it's highly interactive and we don't know who's going to show up with that one piece of information that's going to really lock it all in. And I think that I think that speaks to the, I don't know, the nature of the work we do.
Are you talking about where, making crucibles and stuff? You're like running experiments, it sounds like.
Yeah, everything. You know, I mean, sync is all, everything as far as sync is an experiment.
Well, okay. So wait, let's shift gears here for a second. Speaking of experiments, Douglas, what is all this talk about Boise tree forts and cabins?
I think we've arrived at the name, the Boise Spring Sync, and it's a guerrilla sync experiment that's going to happen in conjunction with the Treefort Music Fest, March 23rd through the 27th in Boise, Idaho. And basically, if you want to boil it down to a pitch, it's the real world Boise edition. So we're going to rent a house. We're going to rent a house.
Sync road rules?
Sync. The real sync world. So there's a limited number of beds and spaces. And if you want to come hang out, Alan's going to be there. SJ Anderson's going to be there. Misty's going to be there. James Kozak is going to be there. John McGuire, yeah.
Whoa.
And so,
and that's right, Misty Greer.
Yes, Misty Greer.
And so, he said her. He said that I heard that name for sure. That's crazy.
So these people have signed up for it's a sync summit without any summit. It's just a sync chill.
It's Sync Valley. Is sync. Boise a valley?
Yeah, kinda.
Kind of. So I know, now just, can you clarify the idea? So obviously we rent out the house, but what about mentioning that there is the Treefort Music Fest happening at the same time?
Same time. And so there's lots of stuff to do. And so we'll go sync in real time together as a group. We'll have structured activities just so that there's some structure to the thing. And then there'll be a lot of a time for people to just go off and, you know, enjoying themselves. It's spring, it's nice, and so it's the conversations that Andras is talking about at Fertile Grounds, plus, you know, a lot of background noise at the same time. And so I, you know, like one of the things that I've got under my skin is I want us at some point to all dress up in like some real super Bible clothes and then walk around with our sync books and stand on milk crates and preach the good word of Steve Wilner. And I read from the sync book, chapter the seventh, and Wilner says.
That's stupid.
So there's these two different events. So
yeah, tell us, Alan. I'm sorry. Tell us about, because this, it's called the Sync Project, Sync Summit Project, and it's a three phase project.
Oh, okay, sure. So,
breaking it down Disney-like, cool.
So there's, so the Indiegogo particularly, what we're doing here is we are essentially doing a ticket pre-sale, but obviously for people who can't come, we do have other things that you can purchase to help support us. You could buy t-shirts, you could buy posters, e-books, stuff like that. So there is an Indiegogo campaign, and what we're doing is we're trying to raise money to put on the two events, Boise in March, Olympia in August. But the other, that third phase is basically spending the last year plus with these intense, I mean, we have hours of HD footage that we captured in Olympia 2014. And we've, even since Andros have released, Andros and I have released a ton of it, we're still sitting on, I mean, a massive load of great conversations, great moments, just so much documentation. And as I've been working with it, it just feels to me like, well, all right, let me say this. So what it feels like is it needs to be a documentary. And so there's sort of two aspects to this. Again, these are HD cameras, capture all this footage. And something that occurred to me was, what has been one of the major issues with making sync films for the last, I mean, you know, since Jake Kotze sort of pioneered the synchronistic video, it's been copyright. It's been the issue of having things yanked off YouTube for copyright. Well, now we suddenly have hours of original footage that, you know, for lack of a better term, we own. There's no one's going to claim a copyright on that. We could actually turn this into something, and whether we wanted to pitch that to a festival or, you know, whatever we want to do with this in a legitimate fashion to turn this into something, this is an opportunity we've actually just never had before. And the footage is great. We got funny moments, profound moments, psychedelic moments, all these things captured. And I'm like, holy shit, we need to do something with this. But even if I volunteered to do more editing, we still have some issues, which would be like audio mastering and color correction, stuff like that would really need to be done if we were going to try and present this as a legitimate film. I know everyone was inspired by, say, like Rodney Asher's Room 237. You know, one of the things that came up with him, he said he never really thought this was going to be something beyond an internet video, but obviously he did it in such a way that it was of a high quality video that could be projected, but also, you know, went through the steps of having it distributed and all that sort of stuff. So if we wanted to go that route, again, it's a tremendous opportunity, but it would require some additional funds that I can't do. I've tried color correcting. That's not for me. I don't have an ear for audio mastering. So anyway, the third phase of this Indiegogo project would be, if we raise our full campaign goal, I will take this money, pay to have the footage cover corrected, pay to have the audio mastered, and we will make a real documentary out of it. And again, I just feel like it's a real opportunity for the sync sort of artistic movement, whether people have different ideologies or however you want to sort of break down what the sync movement or sync community might be. I do think having a legitimate piece of film out there would be a tremendous advantage. So that's something that I've put I can volunteer again a lot of my time and energy to all the things that we've done, but I've sort of reached a point that if anyone likes this idea, we would need the additional help, and that's what I'm considering the third phase of the project.
So what you're saying is, for those people who are on the fence, it's time to head on over to Indiegogo and buy your tickets to both of these events, because they're going to be awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, unless you got a good reason for being on the fence, I mean, in which case, stay there and then check us out tomorrow. But I do have a question for you, Doug. And this is something I've been not worrying about, but you say Boise. I've always said Boise. If people are going to be going there, we should get this one straight. Is it Boise or Boise?
It's Boise is what people say if you live here, but you can say whatever you want.
I've never heard anyone say Boise. I've always heard Boise.
Boise?
Like it's a Z. That's why you say it, right? You say
if
Boise.
You come to, you know, our little hipster shop that like oh, our Portlandia hipster shop, they have the t-shirts that say B-O-Y-S-E-E.
Boise.
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 Yeah.
Got it.
So everybody who doesn't live there is just a joke to everyone who does.
Well,
it's basically.
There's also Moscow, Idaho. They don't say, I think like
Moscow and not Moscow.
Moscow, Russia. Yeah, I guess we just do it a little differently here.
You guys are weird.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to go in a direction if we're just going to be jibber-jabbering about stupid shit. What?
I got some stupid shit.
I got some stupid shit. So, Will, have you seen any of the Tree Walk videos that Andres and I have produced?
Actually, I'll tell you exactly what I've been doing, because this is exactly the stupid shit that I wanted to bring up as well. There is another way to produce the Tree Walk, and that is to include the audio that Andras puts on random during the walk.
Yeah, and so throughout the walk, I have my headset on, and I'm keeping a playlist, which I
there's gold there because just to name a few, and this is the entire playlist is in Dropbox 42 for anybody who's interested. But there's some things that have happened recently that kind of sync up with what that playlist has in it. And I just discovered one today because it is David Bowie's death day. And that is, I think, the name of the song that's in the playlist. I'm almost positive it is because I listen to the playlist a lot. It's They Might Be Giants. And it's...
Yeah.
What's the name of the damn song? It's a French...
Oh, movie. Yeah.
Au contraire. Au contraire starts with David Bowie, doesn't it? How are the lyrics, Andras?
Yeah, it's David Bowie. There's a line about, there's a verse about David Bowie, a verse about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and a verse about Mahatma Gandhi.
Well, what about the fact, this is something I've been thinking about. So we did this event August 2014. We've devoted this entire month to revisiting that. So our event in August of 2014 was essentially Friday night. We did the Radio 8 Ball show, and Saturday we had a series. Like Saturday was a full day of events, right? Well, Friday night, the very first thing before Radio 8 Ball, Ezra Sanzerbell gets up and does his Radio 8 Ball pre-show. He gives a short talk. It's about 17 minutes. You can watch the video, again, at thesyncboot.com/OE2014. I got all that stuff up there. Ezra does a talk. This is the very first thing we start our thing with. And his presentation is talking about synchronicities around David Bowie, Brian Eno, and Philip K. Dick. And that's literally what we started with. So the fact that we're revisiting all this footage right now and revisiting this moment, which literally started with...
Yeah, because, I mean, that was on my mind when we, after everything that happened at the 2014 event, I mean, that's what it's been on our tongues for the whole last year. I mean, everything that happened with the police shootings and everything was like one thing after another was reflected in what we were dealing with. I mean, if you remember, right after that was when Robin Williams committed suicide. And now we have another big celebrity death that kind of like caps the
work. I tried really hard with Synchronized Season 2. I tried really hard to kind of touch on some of these major sync nodes, like some of the more global sync nodes. Obviously, we had our like personal synchronicities. But yeah, like so say the death of Robin Williams. I tried in Synchronized Episode 2. I think, yes, episode 2, to show how that was connected to everything. And then in episode 5, I tried to show how the, Charles Manson, we did this event on August 8th and 9th, which was the anniversary of the murder of Sharon Tate and the LaBianca killings, the sort of helter-skelter Charles Manson murders, whatever you want to call that event.
But that was not the intention.
No, of course not. We had no intention. We didn't set out to be like, hey, let's have synchronicities around Charles Manson.
And it's continuing now, though. This is like the end of a period. Like David Bowie's death is like it's the bookend of the Tree Summit itself. You see what I'm saying? Like there's something about it that is reflected in the whole event of what happened and everything that happened that, you know, up to this point. It's weird. It's weird because we're starting a new phase, as you put it earlier today, because recently Alan Toussaint died and he also has a song that's in the playlist as well. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's like a reflection of everything that was happening that day outside the event, everything that was happening and all the conversations that were going on during the event, as well as the playlist that was going on only in Andros's ear. Like none of us really heard what he was hearing.
Andros, do you want to talk about the jaywalking scene in the tree walk videos?
Yeah.
I think it's tree walk right after Hesed.
It's actually Gev. Oh yeah, well yes, it is right after Hesed. So the thing about the tree walk we did, we started at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would have been 1 hour after Michael Brown is shot in Ferguson the same day. And as we know, his body was, you know, lay on the street there for a couple few hours while they tried to control the scene, and people were horrified by the way they just left him there. But when I see the footage from the tree walk, I can't help but start that clock and have that in my mind, that is obviously unintentionally what we're syncing with. And what we are is a group of, you know, we're some weird looking white people, but we're still white people. And there's even a cop who comes and sort of checks us out when we're in the we're doing the tree walk.
But look,
so let me just finish. So then in order to get from the bottom part of the tree, the park, to the big lake that is the top of the tree, the Supernals, in order to do it in alignment with the tree, there's not a crosswalk there. We have to jaywalk. And so I'm watching, you know, us, a group of, you know, 40-something weird looking white people all jaywalking together en masse across the major street in Olympia, and nothing happens to us, and can't help but think about the reason Michael Brown had his encounter with that cop, with Darren Wilson, was because he was jaywalking. And you know, it brings up obviously white privilege, and at the same time you could look, it's like a weird, in one hand it's a demonstration of white privilege, on the other hand it's a weird way that synchronicity has us doing a Michael Brown protest, a Ferguson protest, like before, like the first Ferguson, or this I guess the second Ferguson protest, because the first one were the people gathered around his body saying, "What are you doing, you crazy cops?" And the second one is us totally unaware engaging our white privilege, but looking at it now, I can't help but see it as an action that's tied to it, both, you know, to our, you know, pointing out our privilege, but also pointing out our prescience. And I think, and there's a lot of moments that are like that in the tree walk video, particularly, although also in all of them, in the Radio 8 Ball video, in the talks, the whole event is so shot through with sync. But yeah, what were you saying?
Rock in the Suburbs. Are you familiar with the song Rocking the Suburbs?
Yeah, I think that might have even been in the list.
Yes, it is in the list, and that's where I was going with that. Nobody knows what it's like being, what is it, middle class and white? That's the lyrics to Rocking the Suburbs. And I wouldn't doubt, I would have to check, but I wouldn't doubt that happened while we were crossing the crosswalk, because it lines up pretty well. It's just a weird song to be on because of everything that's going on. This is a song about, it's kind of it's a 2001 post 90s rap rock white boy song is exactly.
And
what it is.
From Ben Folds Five. It's a parody of.
Yes, it is definitely a parody
of white privilege. Yeah.
It's a parody. Absolutely. That's what the irony of it is, or the sync of it is. Sync and irony are extremely related.
Here's a question, Alan. So when you came through Boise on your way to Olympia, you shot a little film with me and Jason, which was interesting, especially to see it. I mean, this is one of the last things you put together, you know, several years later. And that definitely captures a moment of our life at a moment in time, really specific. It's like the beginning of the summer of hate. And we aren't going to get to go to the Olympia Sync Summit And, you know, there's a little bit of what Misty calls FOMO. How do you feel about the, you know, what would be known as the Sync community right now?
Man, that's an excellent question. I thought that, I noticed that, like, particularly on Facebook, that video of you and Jason sort of spawned some interesting comments of people's opinions about how they felt about whether or not there was such a thing as a Sync community. You know, was it an exclusive thing? Was there a, you know, is this a just a sort of loose-knit band of people interested in the same subject? Was there a sense of, for lack of a better term, like fraternity? Actually, I know that implies a masculine, but I don't know, like a, you know, a community of friendship, you know, all those sorts of things. And I have to say, it definitely, while that's questionable, like at this point, I don't know what the sort of state where everyone else's heads are at. I can only speak for myself. I know I've been sort of stuck up my own ass for the last year or so. I've been very focused on making projects happen, doing video editing, doing the podcasts, you know, maintaining the website, like all the stuff that I don't feel like I've been engaging with people in the same way. But I certainly see, I feel like I see that engagement. I see people building little, you know, friendships, building connections, building all those sort of things. And it would be hard for me to think, there's a few things. So one, it would be hard for me to think that people don't feel that they have these friendships, even though if it might not be this big overarching, like I'm friends with 100 different synchro mystics. No, there might be like 5 people that you are regularly interacting with or something like that. And what I can say is that I didn't know when I did the August 2014 event in Olympia, I had taken a few months off to do this big road trip out to Olympia. I didn't just like fly into Olympia that day. I took this big road trip. That's how I saw you and Jason. And as I'm on the road and I'm just completely unplugged and I have no idea what's going on, people are fighting about crazy shit, like Red Eye starts their whole Hitler thing and all this sort of weird stuff is going on and people are sort of self-segregating and fighting and all this stuff's happened that I have no idea about. And I'm, as we're building up to this, I'm starting to wonder, holy shit, what is the state of our community? And let me tell you something. Once you're actually there in person, that is not a fucking issue at all. Not an issue at all. All right? You get together with people, it's just fucking incredible. Whether or not, you know, we're all human beings, you're not going to jive with everybody, that's just the way things are. But let me tell you something, you could see it on everyone's face, you know. Vigil Q, you know, sort of starts off the weekend not really knowing anybody who went there to see, he was into Marty Weeds and Scott Onstott. He didn't know anybody else and was sort of dismissive of all this shit. Specifically after Will Morgan's presentation, he gets blown away and he's like, ah, okay, I get it now. And he left that weekend saying, okay, these are my people. I found my people, right? So, and I don't mean to make, you know, it's just like, you see what happens is, oh, okay, you all get together and you hang out and you have a great fucking time. That's what it is. It's like you become friends. I remember telling Misty, so I hadn't met Misty before. You had interacted with her, Doug. And when you did a 42 minutes with her, and I listened to that while on my road trip. So like about a week before I met her, I listened to an interview you did with her, but I'd never met her before. We get to hang out. And here again, I'm looking at this as I'm pulling into this place where I'm hosting an event, obviously with Andras, but I'm sort of like, you know, in this position of responsibility and am I the host and she's the guest? Are these people my, for lack of a better term, like my customers, my clients? Do I have to, you know, am I treating them like guests or are these my friends? Do we get to hang out, blah, blah, blah? And I didn't know what I was going to expect. And I was so happy. I mean, I literally didn't know what to expect, but I was so happy. And by the end of the week, I'm like, no, this is cool. This is like these, we have friendships here. And whether or not you can't carry that same energetic back into the internet. but I have memories and a lasting kinship and affection for all these people. So I know when I do interact with somebody that I've met in person, it's definitely different than I'm interacting with some guy on the internet that I don't know if you are a troll. I don't know if that's even your profile photo. I don't know if that's your real name. I don't know if you're just being a douche or, you know, is that how you really are? Like, I don't know any of these things. But when you get to hang out with people, Will said to me, and this was – Will and I had met before the Sync Summit, but he said to me it wasn't until we met in person that he realized, like, watching the way I talk with my hands or the smirks that I do while I'm talking, how much –
The mannerisms.
Yeah,
like,
the mannerisms.
It's not what you realize that the people that you thought were – you thought you knew who somebody was online or whatever, but that's not the person. Like, the voice, whatever they type, none of that shit – is anything close to the idea you get of a person when you're standing there, like, reading their body language. And actually, I had met Andras before 2014. I had met him back in 2012, and I'd seen film of him, but I'd never seen real good film of Alan or anybody else really in the Sync. So it's like all of the – it's funny because now the thing is calling everybody a SHIELD or a fucking CIA agent or whatever like that. Like – with Vigil, like, Vigil and I have had some conflict in the past, even after the Sync. The fact that I walked down the street
Vigil. Whoa, you broke up there.
Okay, so my point is that there's no way that that dude's a CIA agent, because... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you really learn to, like, not be paranoid about an individual when you're sitting right next to him, like, eating bagels. It's there's a difference.
Will,
like,
I still think that you are FBI. It's point blank.
You
right?
have good reason
with
to.
Bodhi, and movie, right?
and we finally meet Douglas. No,
you guys have never met.
We've never met. Seen
that's
each other.
That proves the point.
Right, indeed.
But who's the cop? Who's the cop?
No, I listen.
I've met both of you, and I think that this is all a clever ruse that you are both.
What would be funny is that we finally met and realized that each person was from a different agency.
Oh, shit.
Well, that was 42 minutes. Wait. That was 42 minutes, Andras, and I'd like to thank you two for sharing it with us.
Are you going to continue?
Will, we got to take us out.
You're welcome, Will. That was great. No, let Andras finish.
You're welcome. No, you're great. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the 2016 Sync Summit Projects on 42 Minutes of Production of Sync Book Radio at thesyncbook.com. Information about this Indiegogo can be found at thesyncbook.com/Oli2014. For more information about the Sync Book, our guests, check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com. If you like this podcast and would like more, consider becoming a Sync Book Plus member. Some of the membership benefits include full access to the complete audio archives, discounts on books, behind-the-scenes scripts, bonus audio and video, as well as monthly online hangouts with the host and naked pictures of Douglas Bowles. All this and more can be found at thesyncbook.com/membership. Thanks so much, and don't forget your hat.
Tesla brought the X-ray photo to the world, brought the AC power to the world. Here is a mind that can see across space. Here is a mind soaring free. Sound turns to light, and light turns to waves, and waves turn to all things perceived. Maybe that knowledge would drive one insane. How can that knowledge be tamed? Tesla ushered the papers, no family to tell, out of the window. for the death race design. Tesla brought the radar detection to the world, ushered remote control into the world, ushered the bladeless turbine into the world, ushered the neon light into the world.